I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and as always, I am thrilled, excited, overwhelmed, and happy to be here with all of you. You know, politics just covers everything we do. For the last 4 years, it has been a drudgery of trying to understand who did what, who did it right, who did it wrong, trying to fight our way through the media, the lies, the fabricated stories, the fake news every minute, right? It's exhausting. Now we have our holidays coming up. We have, this is the time that helps us enjoy the rest of the year. We enjoy these holidays and we prepare ourselves. We get together with friends and family, and we're still going through some nonsense. Now we're recounting votes. We're gonna look at the election again. Who cheated? Who didn't cheat? So what we're trying to do here in this episode, this wonderful, beautiful episode of Chasing Justice, and we're kind of going with faith, family, and what's next. We're gonna try and get away from the constant drumbeat of the politics for a few minutes. And I have some wonderful people in my family to join me. You know, as you all know and love, the wonderful Miss Kathy is here. Kathleen, how are you?
Hi.
Thanks for being on. I appreciate it. And then later on, I'm going to bring on my lovely and talented daughter, Marisa Joy, because she's a college student. And I kind of want to get perspective. You know, I'm 58 years old. I have a business. I'm training. We're working. We're doing all the stuff we're doing. How is this pandemic and the shutdowns and the new world we're in, how is this affecting the younger people, the younger generations? What are they actually going through? So we're going to bring Marisa on towards the end, and I'll have a little conversation with her. But you had a great idea the other day when we were talking, trying to figure out, you know, what is it we want to do besides to constantly be upset about these politics? Is, as the holidays are approaching, maybe there's something else we can talk about. Maybe there's some different things we can think about just to take our minds off the constant negativity of all of this. And I know we're going to do a Thanksgiving special, and we're going to put that out. We're going to do a Christmas special because everybody enjoyed, you know, you and Marisa Giordano were on last year, and it was probably one of the most popular podcasts that we've ever done. It was listened to thousands and thousands of times because it connected to people. It was about traditions. It was about the holiday. It was about things other than negativity. So that's what I wanted to do today. And you and I were talking about, as these holidays approach and the COVID thing is still here. Now, this is week, what, 72 of two to flatten the curve? So it's 350 days. We're supposed to be 15. It's never ending. And now they're talking about here by us shutting us down again, maybe a national lockdown. But the other side of that also is our gatherings have gone from 25. Our governor, New Jersey, just announced now your gatherings can be no more than 10 people. Just as the holidays are about to hit us, you're allowed to have 10 people. So you and I were talking about, okay, how do we reclaim what belongs to us? How do we reclaim our holidays? How do we reclaim these things that are important to us? And that's why the whole idea of, you know, faith, family, and what's next kind of came into being. So what do you think? Kathleen, tell us what you're thinking about this.
Well, I like what you just said, reclaim, because I think sometimes in years past, the holidays have gotten away from us because it's what gift do you get for this one? What do you do for that one? How do you, you know, get to your work party? And how do you get to the kids' pageant things, you know? And they could be really crammed and rushed, and you miss a lot of reason for the season. Mm-hmm. Now, many people, many generations before us have gone through tough times, world wars, horrible things, and they managed to scrape together a celebration of some sort, whatever they could do, right? They want to connect on that day. So I was thinking about it. We were talking, and I said, I want to go from being annoyed that my Christmas, my holiday, my Thanksgiving, and my New Year's just got ripped out from under me. I don't want that attitude because that negativity is just hurting me. So how do I embrace what I have? How do I make the best of it? How do I conquer it? How do we as a family conquer this negativity and redesign?
Yep, and I think part of that, interwoven in that, is, and again, that's where I came up with this title, Faith, Family, and What's Next. The whole concept of faith, when you said everybody runs around so fast, I remember for years, you know, as a cop working the midnight shift at the holidays, especially the Christmas holidays, and we would watch a movie every night, and then I'd put everybody to bed, and I'd leave, and it would be a very uncomfortable feeling that I was gone all night in the holiday season, you know, riding around and seeing the Christmas lights in everybody's house. But the reality was, it was fast. I mean, that's the one thing about this pandemic. Even, let's go back to the beginning. Remember when it was shut down and you and I were doing fires out in the backyard, campfires, like mm-hmm. every couple of nights, and we were making videos and sending them to our friends, and our friends sent them to us. The kids were around the house every day. It was much slower. We were working from home. We were here all day long. It was a reconnection of people. Now, it's dragged on for a very long time, but I think you're right. In this pandemic, if nothing else, there's an opportunity to look inward, to slow it down, and maybe look at the faith component a little more closely than we had before. You know, Christmas has become this big rush, and, you know, we take it very seriously, and we find that in our home, you know, the reason for the season is Jesus.
But it's very hard. I mean, it's against an avalanche of materialism.
Yes.
You know, to find that. So what I did was I searched for a book. I found a book on, it's called Rejoice, Advent Meditations with Mary. Now, they have Advent Meditations with the Holy Family. They have Advent Meditations with Joseph. And every day you read a new scripture and you think about what that scripture means to you and how you might pray about it. And if it's with Mary, you might see Advent through Mary's eyes. And if mm-hmm. it's the Holy Family or through Joseph, you know, their travel to Bethlehem would be a day. So I decided to see if any friends would join me.
Excellent.
And I have right now 10 people joining us. We are going to maybe have to do it Zoom, not sure. But I have well, most of them are Catholic, but some of them are Protestant. I even have a Jewish girl that asked to join today. And I said, do you know it's about Jesus? She's like, yeah, I'm good with that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you know,
but I'm hoping that, what I'm hoping is that we as people together, we can strengthen our faith with each other, form this community, small group, get together once a week for Advent, but daily do this at home. And it was mm-hmm. it was my way of saying, okay, well, the materialism, that whole craziness is gone. What can I fill it with? Well, it really should have been filled with my faith in God and experiencing God closer this time. And I kind of always made God like number 10th on my list, you know? So now I want to be able to put him back at the top at first.
That's excellent.
What can I do?
And that is, would that be the silver lining, right? When you see the silver lining in the gray cloud, you know, this is a pandemic, but it's given us that opportunity to maybe look at that. And I, that's what I want to do. I want to get away from this never-ending, you know, screaming and hollering and maybe look closer. So I know you have a lot of ideas you've come up with.
Right.
And that's part of, you know, where we're going to go here with this segment. I want to introduce these things to everybody. But it's like little Christmas or small Christmas or closer Christmas. I'm looking forward to it. We usually have a huge Christmas Eve party.
Right.
And we have family and friends, and they've gotten together for the last 20 years. And this year, because of the COVID and, you know, the restrictions on the number of people, and we don't want people to get sick, and we have old people and all different things, we're pretty much going to knock that down to immediate family.
Well, right? In our immediate family, with the four children, their wives, special, we're 10 just in the box.
Well, they're going to make them take numbers because you can only have 10 in the house. So you'll have 8 stand outside, and then they'll take half an hour apiece. Yeah. They'll come in, and
I'm going to go over one if I have to, right? We're going to have a different one this year for sure. But mm-hmm. it really starts even with Thanksgiving. We often had a big Thanksgiving. The year we went to go see the Macy's Day Parade was amazing. That was just such a fun year.
Yes.
But we always watch the parade in the morning.
And this year there's no parade. There's going to be video about the parade, which might be okay. Maybe we pull out some old videos and we watch our family in that morning
Yeah, you know? Because that's a great idea, actually. Some of our old family videos.
Right, right. Watching these old videos that we have. And everybody has old videos or old pictures. Who looks at them? We just took out how many, literally 30 boxes of pictures of our children for the last 35 years. And we have thousands and thousands of pictures. Of, you know, back when you had to use film and you had to record, that's millions of dollars worth of pictures we have. And we haven't looked at them in all these years. So you and I are sorting through them. That might be a good thing to do on that morning is to, you know, have a nice breakfast and look at some pictures and reconnect. Take advantage of the isolation, of the shutdown, of the slowdown.
Well, you could do it Zoom, or you could do a FaceTime, so people could all watch. You know, mm-hmm. If you did it Zoom.
Sure, you could share your screen and show pictures.
Right, you could show pictures, and you could make it even more than the regular people you would see. You know, our niece in Florida, we don't get to see her at Christmas, but now maybe we can show some fun pictures and video together.
Right, because at least you know everybody will be home. Everybody will be home. They're not going to be out anywhere. Where are they going to go? You know, the one thing that I do miss doing for Thanksgiving was, we talked about it for so many years about, you know, trying to help. Now, we've helped families over the years with the holidays and this and that, but I remember telling Jack how I really wanted to go out and help, you know, give out the meals for Thanksgiving. And Jack and his friends, our youngest son, who's 17, a couple years ago, he goes, "Dad, me and my friends are going to go do it." And I was like, "Oh, good." You know, which means really I don't have to do it, you know, because if Jack's going to do it, at least it's getting done. And I said, "Wait a minute, I'll go." And it was a great event. Now, we've done about every other year now I've gone, and it's a wonderful thing to help other people and this and that, but we may not have that opportunity this year under the same circumstance, but maybe you could still do that. If people come by to the church and they go to pick up the food, and you can hand it off to the car as they go racing by, you toss it in the window. And
yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do.
But that's the whole idea of this episode, of what we're trying to do is figure out how do we reclaim these holidays away from these people that want to mask you up and put three masks on and duct tape your eyes and make sure you don't see nothing. And how do we still get to enjoy our
holiday? But it's important not just for the holiday, but it's important for our mental health too. You know, the way we did Christmas and holidays before wasn't right. Bars had to open because people had nobody else home and they would go sit in a bar. Movies had to be open because people had no place to go. They'd go watch a movie. Some people didn't have family, right? Mm-hmm. Some people didn't have that. So we actually didn't really live the spirit of Christmas in years past because some of our family and friends were suffering, right? And mm-hmm. It's important now we can see that. We have time to,
right.
I'm hoping, to make time to notice.
And that's really the point.
Who's hurting and who could use a boost.
There is a silver lining to this, though it's hard to see on a day-to-day basis. When it comes to the holidays, how do we bring them back? And that's why, you know, we're going to do the Thanksgiving special, because we're going to talk about that. And why did people like that show so much last year, that episode? Because it got them away from everything else and they could listen to, you know, traditions. And maybe everybody gathers around this year at Thanksgiving and listens to the show and at Christmas and they talk about their own things together. That would be wonderful if we could bring that to them. What justice that would be, right? Okay. So let's talk about some of these things. What is it you think that we can start talking about? What can people do? Because you got a lot of them there. I mean,
I don't have a lot. I just had a couple of
16
ideas.
Pages, Kathleen, is a lot. I mean, you know, I asked you to write a few things down. You wrote a novel over here for me.
Oh, stop.
Go ahead. So what do you think?
So much.
Let's talk about the medium, first of all. You mentioned Zoom a few times. Now, for people out there who don't know what Zoom is a free platform. Now, if you get the free Zoom computer program, you can basically do a 40-minute meeting, and you can have it recorded, and it can download to your own computer. So you keep the video, and you can have, I think, up to 50 people, 60 people come on, and your family can all come on, and you can see each other, you can interact, you can hear each other. Of course, they have to have a computer with a camera.
You can do a computer, you could do it on your phone. Which
you can use it on your phone, too.
Because it's easier to do it on your phone, because
sure,
most phones have cameras.
Yep.
You just have to download an app. I think a lot of people use it. I've been playing with a little because we do it for the business now, and I'm trying mm-hmm. to get to it. It is not hard.
It's not hard. It's
easy.
Oh,
you just have to be able to say, you know, sign in, create a username and a password, and then you want to host a meeting.
Right.
And if you want to host a meeting, you invite people. And the way you invite them is usually an email.
And they just click on a link Next thing you know, there they are, and everybody's in your living room with you. So you have some time before Thanksgiving. Go out there and look at the Zoom platform or any other platform that you want to use. But Zoom is easy, and it's free, and you get 40 minutes. 40 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, so we're going to do, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out my mother's chocolate cream pie recipe and to all the kids that can't be here. And so they can all, and we're going to make ours, and everybody will make it at their own home. And we'll talk about how the pies came out, because that's a big favorite.
Well, a pie tasting contest at home. We'll judge our own pies.
Well, it's something new to do.
Well, I'm going to say they should make two and eventually bring one to us.
Well,
and
we'll
be
making
the final
our,
arbiter we'll be of the chocolate cream pie.
So we could do that. Mm. So we thought of recipe sharing for Thanksgiving.
That's a great idea.
Again, some kind of connection on Zoom. We played turkey races for many years. I don't know if you remember. So we made a poster board, and we made six spots on the poster board. And I think there was five or six boxes. So
yeah, and it was great, but there was feathers all over the place.
No, we made fake turkeys.
Fake turkeys, of
and
course.
We used dice, and you rolled the dice, and if you got a 3 and a 6, the turkey in spot 3 moved up a spot, and the turkey in spot 6 moved up a spot.
It was a lot of fun. It was a fun game.
And it was fun. So we all kind of put bets on with Hershey's Kisses, which turkey would win.
The little kids could play. The adults could play.
It was just random. It was kind of fun. Little tradition.
Now, along that line, I forgot to tell you, you know, for all my hunter friends out there in Chasing Justice, I went hunting this year, and I shot my first turkey. It was awesome. I shot my first turkey. Now, of course, the manager of the food store of the frozen food section was very upset that I shot my
such
first turkey.
You're such an idiot.
But I just wanted you to know out there that I did go out and get myself a turkey in the frozen food section. But hey, so we can do these things. So the game is really a lot of fun. So there's a game.
I just thought something for Thanksgiving. So I like the idea for Thanksgiving, old family movies. I like the idea of sharing a recipe. We make our turkey pretty much in a box. We cook our turkey, put it in a box. So I'm going to share some of those tidbits with our kids who are making their own turkeys this year, right? Some of the special things we do so they can do it at home.
I think that's great. And when we look at the Zoom platform, we were at a birthday party for a friend the other night, right? And we had all their family and friends. They had a birthday party that we did it via Zoom. And they had cousins from all over the country there. And they played a board game on there. It was like
The game was on Kahoot. Now, this
Kahoot
is another...
Kahoot.it.
Yeah, Kahoot.it. Now, I told it to Jack. And Jack said he's been doing Kahoot in school since third grade.
Really?
Yeah. So you make up a question. So they played trivia. Family trivia about the birthday person. And so they asked a question, and with your phone, you just press one of the squares,
right,
which
you
answer.
You pick the button, so it's an interactive kind of game.
Yeah, so then you could see who answered right, who came in last. It was really
a lot of fun, and everybody, you know, because it was a birthday party, they, you know, you could score, and the team scored. The people at home were the teams, and you could see who's moving up. So it was an interactive way of using this new medium we have in front of us, because we couldn't get together for the birthday party. But it was still enjoyable. And then I think it was, you know, you had to take a drink every time somebody got it wrong or something. You know, of course, we were drinking coffee and tea here at Chasing Justice Land. But everybody had a really nice time. And we have so many more suggestions for you that we'll be back in a minute with more. But Kathleen's really outdone herself here trying to help us all reclaim our holidays. Family, faith, and what's next, America? This is Lieutenant Joe on Chasing Justice. We'll be right back.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, C-E-L-L.com/sleep.
Welcome back. All right, all right, all right. Matthew McConaughey. It's my homage to him. I don't know why I like that so much, Kathleen, but I just do. So we're gonna keep on going here with some of these things that we can do to reclaim our holidays and our families during this pandemic time. And it's really, I think, something everybody is looking forward to. Everybody needs it. You know, you talk to people and they're like, I'm so looking forward to the holidays. How many people you know have already put up their Christmas trees? Look on social media and they put up Christmas trees. My one cousin, she puts up 5 trees in her house. Now, for Christmas, I'm getting her a gift card to the local psychological association, but she has 5 Christmas trees up because she just loves Christmas so much. And she's like, you know, I really need it this year. I need it early, I need it often, and I need to make sure that I shake these cobwebs out of my head and learn to live. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy for her and for people that are doing it, because I went into the dry cleaners today to pick up my stuff, and she has Christmas music playing. And I said, Christmas music? She goes, isn't it wonderful? It's better than listening to the news, because she normally has the news run. And instead, she was jingle belling and all that. It was actually kind of nice. I came home humming a Christmas song, and it's weeks and weeks and weeks from Christmas. So you got more ideas here. Yeah. Let's hear. What else can we
do? I have one last one for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Is that maybe there is a movie, not a holiday movie, a movie that reminds you of why you're grateful, mm-hmm. what to be grateful of. One of my favorite movies is Life is Beautiful, and I know there's a lot of controversy out there because you couldn't outsmart the Nazis in the concentration camp or blah, blah, blah. But it really was the kind of father, that father in that movie was the kind of father you are, I wanted our sons to be, and you kind of hope you can do that. And there is a man who brought hope to his son in such a bad place. So maybe watch a favorite movie that touches you that isn't holiday-ish.
Right. So right? I think that's a great idea. And just for anybody who has not seen that movie, I think we have to give them a little bit. Life is Beautiful. If you see it in the Italian. Now, I remember when you brought it up to me. Oh, we're going to watch this movie. It's a great movie. And I'm going to watch Italian with subtitles, which was not my favorite way to watch a movie. But I got to tell you, the movie was so engrossing. It was such an excellent story that you didn't, after about 5 minutes of this movie, you forgot that there were subtitles. You just mm-hmm. watched it and you were engaged in how this father, in a concentration camp of all places with his young boy, how he tried to make that world okay for that little boy to live in that world, which is hopeful. It was about love. It was wonderful. So I get your idea. Maybe something that's not exactly a holiday movie.
Right. But something that touched you,
yes.
that means something to you,
sure.
that brings that tear to your eye. That I watched the movie Beaches with Bette Midler. She's not my favorite actress, but I like that movie, and I shared that with our daughter mm-hmm. and you, I think.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of those movies that reminds you of what we're grateful for.
Sure. And along the lines of that, I think it's excellent. That's a great idea. I never even really thought of doing that as part of the holiday routine, but here we are at home. We're going to lots of nights to do that. If you're going to do a holiday movie, especially for Thanksgiving, like what is the Thanksgiving movie? You can go to Hallmark Channel and there's a million of them. You know, I love the turkey and the turkey betrayed me and all these movies that they come up with for Hallmark. I saw one, and you and I watched it. It wasn't part of our rotation, and we do have a rotation of films here in our family. We got a whole list we watch for Christmas. But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Mm.
John Candy and Steve Martin. I never realized that. I think I had seen that years and years ago. I never realized it's really a Thanksgiving movie because they're both trying to get home for Thanksgiving.
And one guy really didn't have a home.
And he didn't have a home.
Why, till the ending?
Yeah. Well, you didn't say which guy. So basically, no, but that's a great movie. If you haven't watched a Thanksgiving movie other than something about turkey, you know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a nice way to get everyone together. It will touch your heart. It's a great movie. It's a hysterical movie. You'll be quoting lines out of that for a long time, even though it's an old flick. So I think movies can bring us together because it's something that we can all enjoy. It's another medium when there's closeness.
Right.
What else you got?
Well, I said, what is the thing I like most about my holidays? And that's connecting with people. And the thing I like least is being rushed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do I connect more with people at a time when I can't actually get together, but I have more time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is a weird thing. So I thought, especially for the kids in our lives, or even for us, some traditions we never did before. It's a great year to try out traditions, mm-hmm. right? There's a St. Nicholas Day where people get little trinkets on St. Nicholas Day. there's different traditions from around the world. I said, since we're not having our big Christmas Eve party, I might try that seven fishes for Christmas Eve.
That would be
interesting.
I've
never done that. Yeah.
I didn't know there was seven fishes. You know, I guess there's a lot of them. I guess you could have shark, halibut.
anyway, shut up.
Cape Cod.
Shut up. So, the seven fishes. And Marisa Giordano did a great job explaining why they did that. Mm-hmm. So I love that idea.
And we'll talk about that on our Christmas
right.
show. That's excellent.
My parents decorated their Christmas tree when they were kids on Christmas Eve.
That was a big...
And maybe tradition. Holding off till then. If you've got nothing else to do at that day, maybe that's the day, and then your tree lasts for 2 weeks after, you
yeah.
know?
And that was it. They did that because a lot of them want to say Santa Claus brought the whole thing. He brought the Christmas tree, the presents, and everything. Mm-hmm. So imagine being parents then. All the toys I had to put together on Christmas Eve over the years, and most of them were put together correctly. Not all of them, but most of them. It was interesting to see that... If you had to put out the tree and the presents and everything, that would be overwhelming.
I know, but they didn't have a lot of presents. I think that was the whole point. The girl got a baby doll. The boy got a train. There were some oranges in the stocking. It wasn't the excruciatingly large
put together
room-filled
this
yeah.
bicycle with 400 moving parts. And
so then I thought, for the kids on your list... Mm-hmm. Maybe send some fun cookie cutters, a recipe, some sprinkles, and let the kids do a cookie baking thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you may not be able to be with them, but maybe there's a family recipe. There's cookie recipes from my mother that I haven't tried because at Christmas I don't have time. Now, right. I don't want to put on the pandemic 25, but it might be fun to explore, right? I like to
sure.
cook, and that's something fun to
well,
do.
Well, for years, you've always done, when the kids were little, you did the gingerbread house, too. You would go by the stored gingerbread house and come home, and you would all put it together.
And that's kind of a fun thing to do on Zoom as well. Make
right?
sure everybody gets a gingerbread house kit, and the same night you guys do that. Now, this is something we started with the nieces and nephews and grandchildren, is a Christmas Eve pillowcase. So I'd make a Christmas Eve pillowcase, mm-hmm. and I'd get a Christmas Eve book, and I'd send that to the kids, and that's the night they put their special pillowcase on their pillow,
mm-hmm.
and they read their story in bed, and they sleep with the pillow only that night. So it's kind of something that's something fun to do.
It is, and there's lots of different stories out there, lots of different Christmas stories that the little kids like. Now, one that I wrote that isn't out there yet that everybody here laughed at me about was I wrote, you know,
everybody knows
the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We all know Rudolph. He's a big deal. He's a famous guy. This and that. Did you ever wonder about these famous characters, if they ever had a brother or a sister that was not quite as famous? So I wrote the story of Schmedley, the yellow-nosed reindeer, and his exploits through the years. You know, he was dropped off by his parents. They lost him in Brooklyn. He had to find his way to get back home. Poor Schmedley. He didn't have a good time at Christmas, but you know what? In the end, he was reunited with everybody, and they loved him. So there's lots of stories out there. I'm just saying, I liked Schmedley. You know, nobody here did, but my children did. So therefore, I thought it was a good story.
So in colder areas, yes. if you can't get together inside... Because mm-hmm. of your...
Northern climates.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have to try to do something outside.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once when the kids were little, we did an outdoor fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited everybody over. And we had a big thing of hot chocolate in one of those giant
right.
thermoses. And we had cookies. And we just sang Christmas songs.
Christmas caroling around the fire in the driveway.
Right.
Right. So what we were talking about for Halloween, which was interesting, that a lot of people apparently did, we put our fire pit in the driveway, moved the cars out, and we had a little fire pit. We had some adult beverages, and as the kids were trick-or-treating, we got to see all the kids in their costumes, and we noticed that a lot of people actually did that. You know, I saw on social media people like, oh, we did a fire pit last night when we were sitting at home. So for Christmas, that's really could be a nice thing. Because you're socially distanced, everyone's 6 feet apart,
and
you
outside,
can raise your voices
right.
In the joy of Christmas. And
yeah, I would just suggest if you're going to do it, have songs that people know and have them on paper. Because
mm-hmm.
that year, we didn't think of doing that,
mm-hmm.
and so we kept singing Jingle Bell Rock Chorus over and over because we
right.
didn't have much. So now, I also heard you, well... I was thinking it'd be nice if neighborhoods did something together as a block, really cheer up the kids. I was thinking, like, put out luminaries or paper. You know, they have these paper bags with stars on them or something. Mm-hmm. You put candles in them. You can light up your porch, your walkway. Things like that might be a fun thing for a neighborhood to do and say, let's light it up and the kids can walk around and
That's
see.
That's a great idea because you could walk around your neighborhood. You're allowed Play to walk music. Around still.
Play music yeah. outside your window out of your speaker. Right.
They can't not tell you can't walk around your neighborhood. You're allowed to walk around. You know the thing, what was it, the Japanese lanterns that they do, they would light them up and they light go up into the sky.
Yeah.
There were thousands of them at one time.
Right.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. Unfortunately, in some areas, like around here, you know, if you try, it lands on somebody's house, it could start the house on fire. So I'm not saying do that, but that's a beautiful tradition that everyone could do if you had a big open area.
Right.
You know, that, you know, paint them up so they look nice and send them up. It's absolutely beautiful.
I think
beautiful.
That you could, as a time to think of something, be creative outside
right.
the box.
Right.
Let's see. The other thing I want to say is I think it's important to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year, more than any, we're going to pare down anyway, right? You're not going to see as many people. You don't have to get all of those extra gifts because you're not going to see the people. You're not going to get to go to the stores and do grab fests, right? Grabbing mm-hmm. everything in sight. So you're going to have a smaller, more thoughtful gift-giving experience.
Mm-hmm.
What about looking into your local Salvation Army? They have Adopt a Family at Christmas.
That's
now,
a great
we
idea.
Did that. We did that 1 year. The way it works is a family can only be adopted one time.
Mm-hmm.
So when they get accepted, so they get themselves put on the list. If they get chosen that year, that's their only time.
Mm-hmm.
And they want you to give a gift, a toy, something they need, something they want, something to read, and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So it's like a clothing item. They give you a list in sizes, and they want one for everybody in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that that was their one time of getting to be adopted. It can't be done every year, right?
So
it's kind of nice to do as an extended group. Why couldn't you all say to all your cousins, whoever around,
mm-hmm.
we've adopted this family here. Everybody go to Amazon, send something, and
right.
we'll drop it off.
Now, that's great because, you know, that's something that, you know, Miss Kathy, something you need to know about her is that she does have a heart of absolute gold. And she comes up with these things over the years to help people. And, you know, I'm not opposed to that. I think helping people and doing good things for people is wonderful. I'm just always so busy that she'll come up with, okay, listen, I know we have no time to do anything, but we're going to build a home for some people that I found that need a house, and you just have to work on it every day, except your job. But we did the Christmas for a family that needed it, and it was within a small community. The people didn't know who took care of them, but you organized it. You got our family and friends to figure out the ages of these kids, the family, what they needed.
Yeah,
we put it all together, and we gave it to a neutral location who gave it to the family, and that was a wonderful thing to do because they wouldn't have had a holiday otherwise.
In that year, this was not through an organization. We just became aware of a family in our circle
mm-hmm.
that was having a very hard time.
Right.
And we didn't want to embarrass them, do whatever.
Right.
So instead, we just kind of...
That's what the neutral was. We brought it to the neutral person. They called and said, hey, some people wanted you to have this Christmas, and it was wonderful. Now, we did that through another family that we had taken on, you and I, but I did it through my cops at work. I put up the list. You know, there's a boy this age, there's a girl this age, there's a mom, there's a whatever, and all the cops brought in stuff and dropped it off, which then we wrapped and dropped off. So you can do that. You can reach out to someone who's really not got a lot. Be generous. That's a great point.
And I think that will help us connect, too, to the meaning of this time. See, we spent so much time worrying about the right gift all the time, or the right eggnog, or the who's on what invitation list, or which party to go to. We got two invites, you know. We spent all that time, and we weren't noticing those around us who were having trouble.
Right.
Now, there's people having trouble now. There's people in nursing homes that can't have visitors. We've got... maybe you have an old friend you haven't reached out to in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a family member you never make time for. With the Zoom platform or just a regular old phone, or actually, never forget, you have a pen and paper.
Right? Old-fashioned writing letters. Do people still know how to do that? That's a great idea.
But the cards we sent, I used to just scribble our name, the Pingaros. Now I can spend a little time writing
a personal note. That's a great idea. Although it's funny over the years, and if your family does this, I'm not picking on you, but do you ever see those things where they say, this is what happened in our family this year? And right. It's one thing you hear, Mary Ellen graduated from college and now she's doing this, or little Bobby won a championship. People get on there, Bob had a boil removed from his left toe. It was very painful. It oozed for weeks. And you're like, is that really, nothing else going on there? And right. I remember reading those and going, wow, that's a little too much information.
And I think because we're on social media, though I have taken myself off and I found myself happier than ever. But I think because people are on social media, they have a sense that they're connected to people, but they're really not. When that Facebook turns off or that phone hangs up, you're still alone. You remember that Christmas we spent in Florida?
I do. We had moved to Florida because we thought we were going to start a new life there. And we had cousins there that were really, really wonderful to us and really helped us get our foot in the door in Florida. But we were there for probably from February on, and here comes Christmas. And we were in Tampa, Florida. We're a beautiful part of Florida, central Florida, the West Coast. And it's warm all the time, and that's one of the things we liked. Except that particular year, there was a frost cold that hit Florida, and we had both lost our jobs, and we had no money. At the same day, we both lost our jobs, and I remember going out to get a $5 Charlie Brown Christmas tree, and I got to my car in the parking lot, and I slipped on a puddle of ice and fell on the floor in the parking lot. And I'm saying, this is Florida? I just tripped on ice? And we have no money, and it was terrible. But it turned out to be a wonderful Christmas, which is a whole nother story we'll tell another time. But what we did is we got on a phone call with all of our friends who were back in New Jersey having a big Christmas party. And we were enjoying the phone call. We were taking turns listening and talking. But when that call was over, when the conversation was done, and we said, goodbye, everybody, love you, Mary, and we hung up that phone, click, you could feel the empty line all the way back to New Jersey that we were by ourselves. So reaching out to someone, I see that in one of your notes here, call an old friend you lost touch with.
Right.
Call a neighbor you haven't spoken to. Take one of them pies you're going to make and knock on a door and say, hey, here's a pie. That's not a bad idea, Kathy. You came up with an excellent list of things here. And I really appreciate you coming on because I had to do something different. I couldn't just talk again and again and again about this politics that's driving us all crazy.
Well, next up is Marisa, you get even more.
And she's excellent, Marisa. She'll be up in a minute with us. But hey, I want to thank all of you for being out there. We are grateful, and we're going to try and put together a really nice couple of specials. And then I promise we'll get back into the politics and the cutthroat and everything else that's going on in the world. But in the meantime, let's try and reclaim our holidays. Faith, family, and what's next. Thanks for being here, and we'll be back with round three and Marisa in a few minutes.
For the war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us, Americans are so enamored of equality. They would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. Chasing Justice here with your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. This afternoon, there's so much with the politics, and we go on and on with, what's happening, and it's been nonstop for years, and I think a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, are exhausted with it, with the back and forth, the arguing, the fighting. We don't know where this is going to come out. We already know there's recounts going on. There may be recounts. There might not be recounts. We don't know if we count the recounts. The computers that count the recounts could be broken. Maybe they're cheated. Nobody knows. I want to talk about some other stuff for a while. We have a whole other world going on. We got the holidays coming up, which is something that we are going to be doing a Thanksgiving special here for Chasing Justice and a Christmas special for Chasing Justice. Now, those holidays are going to include everybody's holiday that goes on. So in the month of December, if you celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or anything else you celebrate, that's all going to be part of our Christmas special. But I'm going to give everybody a heads up. We'll make sure there's special special notification out there on Twitter and, you know, the other places where you follow Chasing Justice. But we need to take a little bit of time. We need to take a deep breath. We need to get away from this constant drumbeat of politics and what's going on. And instead, let's go with the constant drumbeat, never-ending pain of COVID-19. Woo. At least we can talk about that. And with me today, I have as my special guest, Ms. Marisa Joy. And Marisa's been on the show many times before, and her voice is one of the new generation. She's 21 years old. She's out in the world. She's a college student. She's also a filmmaker, a writer, an editor, and she's a all-around good person. So, Marisa, welcome to the show.
Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Sure. America Marisa. Marisa America. I always wanted to say that.
Hello, America.
So, Marisa, I'm happy to have you here with me, and I see the world from my point of view as, you know, an older adult than you. My business is trying to survive in this new world. We're trying to reinvent ourselves to make sure we have, you know, products that can be sold in this new world. But you're just getting started out. You're still in college. Now we don't want to say where you go to school because we don't want fan letters coming in left and right to you.
Oh, God, I already get too
many. We know that you're in school in New York.
Yes.
And, you know, just give everybody a little bit of a flavor of what it's been like with the pandemic as a college student in New York.
Well, first of all, everything, I'd say, beginning to end, has really changed because of COVID. All of my classes are online. Very interesting having every single class, every single day on Zoom. I take the max amount of credits I can. I take 18 credits, so that's technically 18 hours on Zoom per week, which is a lot, and it's very straining on your eyes, and it's very complicated to sit there and do it every single day because it seems so mundane. You just sit in front of your computer, but it's so much harder to learn online on Zoom when teachers are not prepared. They weren't planning on teaching online. So it's just a very different experience. And definitely schools should be charging less for tuition this semester since we don't have any of the campus resources. We're all really just on our laptops.
Right. So, you know, and the whole thing with staying over. Now you're an RA, right? A residence assistant?
I am.
And, of course, there's no residents, so that makes it uncomfortable. But I know there are some, right? There are some kids still in school?
Right. A lot of freshmen at my school came this semester, actually, because they wanted to have a first semester of college, and they didn't want COVID to hold them back from that. So they did come to my school. We obviously are housing them. I'm an RA, so I'm in charge of a floor of all freshmen, 26 freshmen. And I have to make sure that they're following safety protocols. I have to make sure that they're social distancing and that they're doing well in school and that their mental health is holding up throughout this entire thing. And I would say the biggest struggles that I've seen kids have that I would share is being at school with no resources, nothing is in person. How do these kids, freshmen, make friends? They're states away from home. They really can't interact, they can't make friends, so they're pretty much just sitting alone in their rooms. And I do feel bad for them because it takes a strain on their mental health.
Now you're seeing that as an RA. Now, you're not there all the time. You're RAing, as everyone understands, when you're there as a regular RA, when school is really in session the way it normally is in the world, you would be there 24/7, and kids would know you're an RA, and they would stop by maybe something. But you're doing it now, like you're taking turns with different people on call or something. Is that correct?
Right. So the way we're socially distancing it, and they also do this throughout the normal year, is there is a resident assistant on duty for 24 hours, and we have a special phone called the duty phone. And now the way we're doing it is every single resident has this phone number. So say a resident from floor 6 needs help. If a resident assistant from floor 3 is on duty that night, I'm going to help anyone who calls, no matter if it's from live floor or not. But that's a way of socially distancing how many people we have working, how many people we have going door to door. So yeah, I have seen that. A lot of my freshmen on my floor have complained about lack of access to social interaction.
Well, that's a reality because, you know, from what I understand, from what you told me about the school, is that while the school is open, there are no live classes.
No.
Everything is on Zoom. What about, like, food? Where do these kids eat? Is there a cafeteria? Do the people bring it to them? Do they go to a cafeteria? What's up with that?
I would say one of the actually coolest things to come from this pandemic for my school, one of the only cool things, is that we are using Grubhub now as a way to order from our school cafeteria. So everyone that is living on campus downloaded the Grubhub app, and we synced it to our meal plans. So now we order, say, 15 minutes early, whatever we want from the cafeteria, and by the time we get there, it's in a bag ready for us to pick it up. So that's a really nice way to order food without having to stand in line and be in the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not allowed to hang out in the cafeteria. So you're in, you're out, mm-hmm. that is it. You pretty much see whoever opens the door for you when you go in, and that's
right.
who you see.
And everybody's running around with the masks, right, too?
Yes.
Everybody's got masks on everywhere. And you're not allowed to have people in your dorm, right?
Nope. No one's allowed in the dorm. That is a write-up if we see someone go in your dorm room and they don't live there.
Well, I'm sure a lot of fathers are happy to hear that no one's going in the dorm.
Yes, no
right.
one.
It doesn't matter who it is. But, no, the reality is, now, what about, you say the kids just sit in their room. So what are they just literally sitting in their room waiting for things to happen, or what's that all about?
Yeah, so I've gone, I would say, a little extra, and I've combined a nice list, and I sent it to everyone who lives on my floor of all the nearby parks, all the nearby spots where you can eat outside. That way kids can maybe meet up with each other outside of Pace.
Now, is that against the rules?
It's not against the rules to meet up outside of Pace. However, I know NYU is writing kids up for meeting outside. If they find evidence that you were hanging out with another NYU student
mm-hmm.
in more than a six-person, socially distanced outside way, they're writing students up and not getting
so
refunds.
Do they have social distance spies running around following you? Or is it just that if they heard about it or saw it or somebody posted something?
It's if someone posts it. If you say, oh, we're having a party tonight in this dorm or in this building, even if it's not on campus and you go to NYU, they're being really strict
right.
about it.
Well, let's change our focus here a little bit because, you know, the pandemic is tough for everyone because now they're tightening up again. We're hearing New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut probably is going to jump together. And New Jersey just said we go from 25 people gathering. Now he's down to 10 as the holidays are approaching and as that's happening. How has this affected your ability? And now you're a junior, right? So you're getting mm-hmm. ready to graduate, go out into the working world. At this point, you should be doing, what, internships and meeting people that you're going to work for. And you're a writer, you're a director, you're an actress. You know, how is that actually affecting you, this pandemic? What's the real story for a young person?
Well, I would say I'm thinking more in terms of the way that I'm being put back, definitely it's no one's fault. It's a global pandemic. So I'm more than happy to do my part in staying home to make sure that it ends as quickly as it can. So yes, I'm more than happy to do my part to make sure this doesn't spread and affect the lives of more people, especially immunocompromised people. However, it is hard to get internships and it is hard to market and network yourself when you're unable to be in public, basically.
Right. So you think that's going to affect, is that going to slow down your ability to get into the working world, you think? Or do you think it'll be okay?
I think ultimately it will be okay because it is a matter of life and death. We do want to keep the numbers low of people dying. If I can help that, I will. But it is a bummer because I'm not able to do the internships I plan on participating in, and now my mm-hmm. resume for the year 2020 is going to be very empty.
Well, I think everyone's is going to mm-hmm. be pretty much empty. But, you know, you were talking before about the affecting the mental health of a lot of these freshmen and these
yeah.
students, or anybody in general. What are you seeing in your age group? Are there effects you can actually point to and go, yeah, you know, I see depressed people, or no, everybody's pretty much okay?
Yeah, I would say definitely I'm going to keep it for the college students I've been talking to, is on top of this pandemic, on top of not having social interaction, which we are a social animal, we need that, it is wired into us. Taking that away has definitely given people more anxiety and made people feel very isolated, which can lead to depression. I've seen that with kids that I am near, with kids that I'm with, my residents. And even further, I would say that having all of this Zoom, all of this strain on our eyes, all of this stress of having dates coming up and due dates that we need to look out for, but we're working in the same environment that we're living in. And I feel like that overreaches for everyone. You're doing all your work, all your schoolwork, either in your bed or in your living room, right? And there's no separation between home and work.
Mm.
And I think that is really affecting at least my kids that I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting because, you see, we're here in the Chasing Justice Studios, which I spend how many hours a day here because I, too, am working from home. And it's been like a never-ending thing. You get up, you have your breakfast, and then, boom, I come here to the studio. And I'm here doing my job all day long. And next thing you know, it's the end of the day, and you're kind of exhausted. I have found, for me personally, that working from home, I am doing more work than I ever have before because, you know, people, I think, were afraid in the beginning that workers from home would really just be, watching TV and fooling around. Do you find that you can actually get things done, or is it more distracting to try and do your work?
I would say it's definitely distracting to do my work at times because I'm mostly getting burnt out. I wake up, similar to you, I do my homework, I have hours of homework, I have finals to study for, I have RA meetings, and then by the end of the day I want to just watch TV or something, and I realize I have homework due for the next day. So I don't really have time to be that distracted because I need to be getting all of my work done, which is definitely adding to the anxiety of the entire pandemic. And I want to get my work done, but I have no time to relax. And I'm relaxing in the same environment I'm working. And right. It blends together.
So do you feel, now you're a pretty relaxed, easygoing person like I am. Mm-hmm. Do you feel stressed by this in any way?
It's very stressful. It's stressful to know that you have very little communication with your teachers, with your professors. It's hard to know what's being asked of you.
So are you learning?
I'm learning not the same as in person, for mm-hmm. sure. And I take up a big issue with how schools have not done a deduction in tuition or anything, because we are paying for in-person classes. We're paying for use of the library, the printers, office hours. We're paying for that, and we're not getting any of it.
Right. It's interesting because we see this, the Zoom world, and there's lots of other platforms out there where teachers are teaching, but we hear about the Zoom so much. Now, when you're saying that it's not the same, do you find, how long are your classes? What's the average length of a class you're sitting in front of?
My average classes are typically 3 hours long, and I take them once a week, which is why they're so long. I do have the choice to do an hour per day, 3 days a week, but I typically choose classes that are 3 hours for one chunk, 1 day a week. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of my professors have shortened them to 2 hours on your own of doing work, 1 hour on Zoom. And I have found that that is a really good way to help kids pay attention. But then the other 2 hours, you're teaching yourself. So you get to be off Zoom, but you have to teach yourself the material, and that is too hard.
And how do you do that? How do you teach yourself the material?
I'm teaching myself Italian, and it's so difficult to learn over Zoom, especially when, kids have Wi-Fi issues. Sometimes my professor will short out and pop back in 5 minutes later, and everyone's confused. It sets mm-hmm. us all back.
So you're taking Italian. So say something in Italian. Say something like, "Mi amore, my father is so handsome." Could you say something like that?
Ciao.
Ciao bella. Okay,
that so close is enough. Italian over Zoom. That's what you get.
Oh, it's like linguine over clam sauce or something like that. Interesting. Now, when you talk about your professors and how they're presenting, now maybe not your specific presenter, but what I'm doing? I'm doing lots of remote training now for law enforcement and for school personnel on safety and security topics. And my classes typically are 1 or 2 days in a row where I'm going for 6.5, 7 hours with my students at home watching the Zoom. And we have had great results because I go above and beyond to make sure that I engage them. Are your teachers engaging you?
I was just going to ask, are you asking questions or are you taking input from the class? Because I would say that is probably where your success is coming from. I found a lot of professors lecture for the entire hour mm-hmm. to 3 hours. And they lose a lot of kids because it's hard to, when you have all your icons, you can open Instagram, you can open Snapchat, you can open anything. And instead, you're just going to stare at a lecture.
Well, that's interesting because I knew, first of all, one of the things that we're doing to reinvent ourselves is to say we had to do this remote. Now, we want to do remote anyway because we want to teach across the country as opposed to just where I can drive to or take an airplane to. So we wanted to have more students. And one of the things we knew was that, the term death by PowerPoint, when you go somewhere and the teacher or the professor just flips through the PowerPoint, reads the screen, lectures at you, it's hard to pay attention there. So I said, I got to do something different than that. So to answer your question, I've kind of turned it into, the home team. I make a joke about the people who are home. They're the home team. And then we have the hybrid. We have live and in person also. So I will pit one group against the other, but I'm constantly asking questions. Like I have them all mute themselves and I say, okay, now the first thing we're going to talk about is we did a leadership class last week. What is the definition of a good leader? And I'll look at the screen and I can see everybody, which is great. Mm-hmm. And they see me and I go, hey, you Bob, you're sitting at home. Bob turns on his mic. What is the definition of leadership? And he'll give me that and the whole class can hear it. And then I ask the in-person people. We go back and forth, but I keep them engaged. And I got to tell you, by the end of 7 hours, normally I'm kind of tired because I really put my heart into it and I really do this, but trying to make sure that I engage people at home, not just the people in front of me, and to make sure that while I'm gauging the people at home, I'm not shrifting the people who are sitting there live.
Right. What a balance.
It is exhausting because you want to make sure that you keep talking. Now, the technology is really amazing that these people can sit at home. I can see them, but it's been funny. We've had officers who were, everybody's dressed mostly appropriately, but they're at home. We send out a newsletter because we want to have high standards for our training. But we've had, a guy sitting back drinking his cup of coffee on a Barca lounger, and he's got his dog in his lap. But I got to tell you, he was the whole time. He answered questions. He jumped up and down. But at the same time, it is tough to sit there, and our response has been great. Is that, boy, it was so engaging. I couldn't imagine you could keep my attention for 7 hours. And that's not something to pat me on the back. My point is that we had to plan to do that. That was a plan to make sure that it was enjoyable for the people at home.
I would say that's the key. I mean, when you have 35 students sitting in complete silence listening to a lecture, that is not, you're not going to take away as much as if you have a class of people who are engaged, who are answering questions, asking questions. Mm-hmm. What a better environment to do it in. Sounds like you're making the best out of the teaching situation that you have right now.
And that it is. And we're trying to figure out, more ways to do it. We're going to do, breakout rooms. We're trying mm-hmm. to figure out how to do breakout rooms and engage people at home. I give them assignments. You at home, take 10 minutes and come up with these, the five greatest things about leadership or whatever. And then people here in person, you'll do that. And then we have this cross discussion. Interesting thing, though, where I use role players as much as I can in my training, especially for police training. And we've had the role players actually sit in front of the camera in a separate room and engage with the people at home. So in an interview class, they're asking questions with the scenario being, the suspect was captured in Saskatchewan, and the judge says you can interview them on a camera. And they have to use their skills over camera, which is totally different than anything we've ever done. And it seems to be engaging. And I'm hoping that any professors or teachers out there that are listening, you kind of get this. It's extra work, but you really have to put that effort in. Otherwise, it's not fair to the people who are trying to learn from home, because it's, sitting in your living room, you can get bored to death.
And I would say it sounds like you're also making this a very sustainable choice. Like, you are going to be able to post-pandemic teach online now that you're getting all the skills you need. Because if you have an engaging enough course, you can teach online as much as you want. You can have people from Albuquerque joining your thing while you're at home in your own living room.
Right. And that is where, sometimes something happens and you have to make a choice. And that's what we're trying to do. So, Marisa Joy, I'd like to thank you so much for being here today. It's always fun to have you on. You're a brilliant young woman. I'm very proud of you, and you're the future of America. So thanks for being here.